morning, everybody. We welcome you to the Unnamed Sports Podcast, episode number 5. This is Simon and Garfunkel. It is Friday, September 12th, 2012, and it's a pleasant morning here again in the Midwest.
October 12th.
Did I say September 12th?
You did.
That's, oh, boy. Another one of those shows. It's that Friday show, and it's that amount, that surplus of hot chocolate that I just devoured through before coming on the air here this morning. But this is Simon along with Garfunkel, of course. Always here. We come from being in the ditch somewhere, laying in the ditch somewhere, to being here. It's great to have you here. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Thanks, Simon. Yeah, I'm doing great. Just chilling over here in the corner, ready to talk about some football, maybe talk about some other things that
are on your mind
in the sports world, or that are on my mind, but we don't want to go through that. We'd be here for days.
We would be here for days. Well, it's been it is that time of year, the time that you love as a sports fan, I should say. I had the opportunity to listen to the Yankees and Orioles game, and I was listening to the feed from CBS in New York. That is the flagship station for the Yankees radio network, and their play-by-play commentator, whose name escapes me now, mentioned this is a great time to be a sports fan. You've got all these games going on. If the NHL wasn't locked out, you'd have NHL games starting tonight. You had baseball 4 games last night. You had a Thursday night football game. You had college football. You had preseason NBA basketball. You had even a playoff women's basketball game last night. It was just a great night to be a sports fan. Yet if you have a DVR, man, you know you're running out of channels to record. At that point, at least for me, but it's a good issue to have all these games on. But the games that you watched last night, what were they?
Well, I actually watched the Thursday night football game, and I switched through with Oakland and New York Yankees. And Oakland game, I didn't really watch too much because I knew that Oakland's time was running out when they were losing by 5 late there in the 7th, and Detroit ended up loading the bases, and I knew that was going to be a trouble time with one out to get out of that. So I kind of just switched to the Yankees game, which was in extra innings, and the O's pulled through. And so at least we have one Cinderella team left we can watch. And I also watched the Tennessee Titans prevail over the Pittsburgh Steelers, which was a great sight to see.
I think the biggest surprise of the night.
That was
Tennessee defeating Pittsburgh in a 26-23 game, which a game we'll get to in a minute. But you mentioned, of course, Oakland and Detroit. That was game 5 of the ALDS. And unfortunately for the team, for Oakland, they're done. Their season's over. And they had quite a great season. That really the surprise team out of the West to make it in that wild card spot and earn the right to be in the ALDS. Unfortunate to see them go. I'm not a big fan of Detroit. But Detroit's a stacked team, and if you look at the matchup coming up here, whether it be the Yankees or the Orioles, I think that the ALCS is going to be pretty entertaining.
It should be. We should have something to look forward to in the future, as well as the Cincinnati Reds getting defeated, and they're done now. Excuse me, I'm a little sick today, but
and a little emotional apparently too.
About a little emotional about the loss of the Reds. Not. Anyway, but yes, the Reds are done, and the New York Giants and Eli Manning. No,
yeah,
the San Francisco Giants took them out. So that's a surprise to me, to be honest with you. I thought the Reds would win that series. The Giants, though, with a strong pitching staff and the young boys with Buster Posey hitting that grand slam to actually, really put them out in front and win that game 7-5. So, that's just... you gonna say something?
No. Continue.
Yeah, but that was very surprising to me. So, I mean, watching that football game too, though. Tennessee really got the job done, but Matt Hasselbeck kind of looked old, and he looked like he couldn't really throw the ball that well. But Chris Johnson had some decent yardage, and their defense came up with some big interceptions, and their special teams with that blocked punt really, I think, changed the momentum. And that ever since then, they were moving their way towards victory.
Again, we'll get back to that one in a second, but one thing I had to talk about before we go on to football is yesterday in the NLDS, it is game 4. It is important for Washington to win this game to force game 5. They do. 13 pitches in one at-bat, Jason Worsaw, in the bottom of the ninth inning. Nobody out, nobody on, and he hits a home run off the 13th pitch after fouling away I don't know how many pitches. Quite an impressive at bat, way to battle, and way to win the game for Washington at Force Game 5. I saw that one. I don't know if you saw it.
I did see it. I think that's worthy enough to talk about. Worthy enough.
Worth or Worthquake. We've heard a lot of those puns in the last 12 hours.
It was just a great job by Jason Worth, sticking with the pitch, falling off the off-speed pitches, but then he got that young fastball low and inside, and he crushed the ball, put it out in the air, no one on base. You know, he just knew he had to put the ball in play and make something happen with it. So he lifted the ball, and that thing was out of there.
Absolutely. And if the Washington Nationals happen to have an impressive run and go far in this postseason, that will be the moment people look back to, is in Game 4 when Jason Worth took 13 pitches and drove
yes.
it, you know, went yard on that final pitch of the game to win it.
As
a
well.
In walk-off fashion. Always a spectacular way to win.
Another thing I want to say, though, is that if they don't make a run and they end up losing this series or the series after that, critics are going to be talking about how they sat Strasburg down. And if the Nationals can't pull through because their pitching staff's too weak, the real question is going to be is, did they make the right decision by sitting him down? Me, personally, I feel like they should have went around that somehow. Strasburg didn't want to sit down. He doesn't want to sit out. He's a gamer. He wants to play. He wants to win the game. You have a very, you know, you had a great pitching staff in Gio Gonzalez and Zimmerman and Strasburg. And, you know, and the young guy, I'm losing it here.
From the Nationals?
Yes.
Bryce Harper?
No, the pitcher.
Oh, pitcher.
Edwin Jackson, excuse me.
Ah, thank you.
And no, is it Edwin Jackson? No.
It could be.
No, it's not.
Nonetheless, anyways, continuing on with the point.
I'm sure the viewers know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I'm sure they do.
Anyway, you could look it up there on your computer since you didn't give me one and you took two to yourself. But anyway, as I want to say is that I believe they should have pitched him early on, you know, got him in the groove of the year, sat him down, maybe skipped a couple of his starts, maybe have him pitch every other scheduled start, then start him up again at the end of the year in the playoffs and give him one of those, that one game that you need, maybe pitch him a game 6 or a game 7 or even a game 5 early on in the playoffs and have him, you know, help out that team and get you a win because he's a great pitcher. Teams couldn't hit him. So when you're another team facing the Washington Nationals in the playoffs and you hear that Strasburg's not in the rotation, that is a big sigh of relief and that is a big thing that's going to help that team get over that. And they're going to say, well, you know, Strasburg's not in the lineup. We have a good chance. And then their confidence goes up. And, you know, this was the year they had the chance with the young guys and all the momentum and the fans getting into it and then the attitude. I don't understand why this team wanted to take a chance by sitting Strasburg at the end of the year. I know it's a health issue. I see that other side. I see how the Washington Nationals organization can say that it's the healthy way to keep him going and then shut him down at the end of the year instead of shutting him down at the beginning of the year and then start him up again and start, stop. It's more healthy to do what they did. But on the other hand, you're going for a ring. You're there to win. Strasburg, the person whose arm, you know, is actually, he can feel it. He wanted to pitch, so I don't know. It's on him if it didn't work out, so that's just my opinion. What do you think about that?
I think from the point of this is something we could look back at as a decisive factor, a decision that was made by management and how it affected the game. So I agree with you there. It depending on how this Game 5 goes, which is coming up tonight, we can look back and say, well, why did Strasburg not pitch? Or we can look back at Jason Worth's 13-pitch at-bat. We can look back at that, too, and say, wow, that's what gave them the fuel to go on. But as for Strasburg, a talented pitcher, still a young guy, and I will give the management of the Washington Nationals some credit there in saying that they have to consider the age.
They deserve, I mean, yeah, they have to consider the age, they have to consider the talent, but they're looking towards the future, but if the future is now, you know. It's like if you're going into a game, best out of 5 series, and it's game 3, you're down in the series 2-1, and you're going to pitch your third best pitcher so that you can save your number 1 for the deciding game 5. What if you don't get there, though? That's the real question. If you lose, you look like an idiot. If you win, I mean, I guess you look like a hero. But if you win, like that's some. It's a lesser percentage.
Right.
You want to play for the now. You want to push anything to the future because if you push something to the future and you don't end up getting there, you got to get there first.
Mm-hmm. It's a calculated risk, nonetheless, and that's the, you know, it's something that haunts every team and every manager and every coach.
But that's the difference between great managers and the average managers that, you know, never make it to the World Series. But I'm going to tell you, this year was a different year for the Nationals. You're gonna go up next in the next couple of years, and they're either going to be looking back at this and saying, wow, we really had a chance to win that year. We could have put in Strasburg that year. I mean, or they can go a couple years down the road and, you know, maybe say that they won a World Series, you know, without it, and maybe get a couple rings. But that's just a big risk, and that's a risk that manager is putting on himself, because if it doesn't work out, he's going to get his ass out of Washington.
Yeah, that, but also just to divert quickly, you have to look at the point I used, for example, in the 2008-09 NHL season. We saw in the Western Conference Finals the Blackhawks and the Detroit Red Wings. The Blackhawks, of course, a building team, lots of young talent, lots of infusion there, and they made it to the finals, the Western Conference Finals, lost to Detroit, who went on to lose to Pittsburgh that year. And, of course, what do? The next year, they come back after a long and hard summer. Ready to go, they win the Stanley Cup.
That could be
your Washington.
Are you talking about Detroit or Pittsburgh? You're talking about Pittsburgh, correct?
I'm talking about the Blackhawks, actually.
The Blackhawks, okay.
You see my point there.
I thought you were talking about the Red Wings-Pittsburgh series where they face each other back-to-back years and switch.
No, that's not what I'm talking about. But okay. I do know that happened, yes.
That did happen. But the difference between that is this is the Washington Nationals, and that is that's the Chicago Blackhawks. Chicago Blackhawks had a lot of talent. They had veterans. They were in the running. It's like the Chicago Bears this year. If the Bears, if they win the Super Bowl this year, I don't know what I'm going with that. But I couldn't think of it right off the bat. But it makes sense in my head. But I can't spit it out right now. But it's a different franchise. It's a different chance. It's a different chance. They've had the chance in years past. They've always been in the running. They're always going to be in the running. But the Washington Nationals, this is a first for them this year. And who knows if they'll make it back.
I think they will, but that remains to be seen. Two game vibes tonight. We have Baltimore and New York. A good matchup there, pitching matchup. We have Jason Hamels, the starting pitcher for Baltimore tonight against CC Sabathia. That game's at 5 o'clock Eastern time at Yankee Stadium. I believe game 5 is at Washington, if I'm correct. And that brings up Adam Wainwright and Gio Gonzalez. Those are the two.
Gio Gonzalez pitched game one, and he got the job done.
He got the job done in game one, and we'll see who gets the job done tonight in game five. Two game fives, the ALDS and NLDS, and that will bring us to the next round, which will start, I think, as early as Sunday or Monday. That remains to be seen. But transitioning off of the baseball playoffs, which only get better with age, it's just like wine, it only gets better the further you go into the postseason, just like wine. Poor reference on my part. We've already talked about just briefly, but let's get in depth here about our Thursday night football matchup. The Tennessee Titans, surprising myself and just about everybody else, getting their second win of the season, going to 2-4. The Pittsburgh Steelers have I believe they're 2-3 now in the season.
They are 2-3.
Surprise there, as we talked about earlier on, your thoughts on last night's game.
Well, my thoughts on last night's game is Tennessee got it done. They scrapped away. I mean, it wasn't pretty, but their win, it wasn't pretty. Nothing big offense, nothing that separated them that much by Pittsburgh. But Pittsburgh missed the field goal. And there's one specific play I want to talk about. It was late in the game. I don't know if you're watching, but I sure was. Is Ben Roethlisberger on third down, scrambled out of the pocket, and he ended up throwing the ball off his back foot and missing a wide-open target on third down instead of, he was running backwards and trying to make a play. Instead of running the ball down maybe 5-6 yards and getting that much closer for a field goal, because if you saw Squeesum miss the field goal by a good 10 feet, 5 feet, and he was short, had the accuracy, but he was short. Nonetheless, he should have ran in. Roethlisberger should have taken a few yards, got closer in field goal range because he knew he wasn't going to make anything happen out of that play, and maybe gotten a little closer for Squeesum to hit that go-ahead field goal. But they ended up kicking the ball and missing and turning the ball over for Tennessee in about a minute and so time for them to drive down the field and kick the game winner.
Well, I'll tell you this. Tennessee had a good first half. They scored 16 points in the first half, and that was really the decisive half in this game. They scored, both teams scored 10 in the fourth, and you could call this an edging, if you will. I mean, they won by 3. It was a close game.
It was nothing special.
But a good effort by Tennessee, a team that, like I said, probably wasn't given a whole lot of credit going into the game. They defeat the Pittsburgh Steelers, and they go to 2-4 on the season. But, yeah, it's good to see them win at home. If you're a Tennessee Titans fan, you don't have much more to cheer about. The only other thing in Nashville is the Predators, of course, and they're locked out.
And some pretty girls.
Yeah, that too. But nonetheless, that was last night's game. Not a whole lot to talk about there. Whole lot to talk about this weekend. Plenty of games going on. And it brings us to our great segment of the week, NFL predictions. It's week number six now. Week number five.
Week six.
Week six. Week five was last week. And we did make predictions last
week. So I picked the Tennessee Titans and you picked the Pittsburgh Steelers. We're going to give myself 1-0 here. Short.
Oh, nice. Appreciate it.
No, I'm just kidding.
But no, you can do that. That's fine. Hey, by the way, I kicked your butt last week in predictions.
Did not kick my butt.
1-7-5.
Because you picked the Pittsburgh. You picked. Did you pick the Eagles or the Steelers last week?
I picked the Eagles, I thought.
Well, Steelers won. I picked the Steelers, I get the points.
No, I won 7-5.
So you won 7-6 because that we counted that wrong. We thought the Eagles won.
And the best part was you made a bet, too. You said, I'm going to pick the Jets. The Jets lost.
Double or nothing.
Which means I get 4 points now. So it's now a, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. I got to count with my hands there.
That's 11 points.
It's 11-5.
So it's 11-6 because I got the point for the Steelers.
Oh, yeah,
game.
You're right. It's 11-6.
So you won 11-5.
11-6.
11-6, excuse me.
Giving you more credit than you are.
Got to add up those points at the end of the year and see who won, and it's most likely going to be me. So.
Yeah, well, I'm up 11-6 now in the third inning, bringing in the closer. But he's going to have to pitch a while. So anyway,
who's your closer?
The closer is Mariano Rivera. Unfortunately, he's injured.
Fortunately, he tore his ACL.
That's
good
right.
Try, though.
So let's talk about the matchups this weekend. We've got a lot going on, and we start off with Oakland and Atlanta in a game that is a 1 o'clock start on CBS. And
well, I'm going to take Atlanta because they are home, and going against Oakland defense, I'm starting Matt Ryan in fantasy this week, so I'm expecting a big game from him. He's been the most consistent quarterback all year, so I'm going with the Atlanta Falcons in this one.
Easy pick, Atlanta Falcons. They win the game. We should make bolder predictions, like how many points will be scored in the first quarter.
That is too specific.
You're right, that is too specific. Next game on the Sunday slate, the 1 o'clock slate, I should say. It is Dallas and Baltimore. Easy pick. Baltimore Ravens.
Baltimore Ravens.
Come on, folks. Dallas Cowboys are a joke. We've seen them already on Monday Night Football. We saw the Bears destroy Tony Romo. Really? This is an easy pick for me. It's an easy pick for a monkey. It's an easy pick for somebody who doesn't know anything about football.
Well, I'm as well going to... Wow. That sounds like...
Excuse you.
There's like a bug in my throat.
Yeah.
I'm trying to get out that I want to pick Baltimore, but my inner side is holding back and tells me I should pick Dallas. So I'm going to go with Baltimore in this one. And, I don't know. Tony Romo's just not putting the... Not putting it together, not an elite quarterback, not sinking in with his offense. And
certainly not
until they change their defensive coordinator, Rob Ryan, I don't think that team's ever going to win anything because that guy's a bum.
Yeah, well, we've talked about this before. Tony Romo should not be the face of America's team, as we as we call them.
I don't even think anyone calls them that anymore, to be honest with you.
Well, they did.
They do, some people, like maybe the Cowboys fans, but...
Okay, whatever. Dallas is 2-2 in the NFC East. In the AFC
if anyone's
North.
America's team, it's the Patriots because they're signaling freedom. So
cool. NFC East finds Dallas in third place.
Laugh at your own joke. It's
and
really
the AFC
Literally
North,
classy.
Baltimore is 4-1. They are top of the AFC North.
I'm sorry. What game?
This is Dallas and Baltimore.
Okay, move on, please. Next game.
All right, you impatient little crap. You know, we'll move on. You're right.
I know I'm right.
Okay. And we've got our next game. That's Cincinnati and Cleveland. The Battle of Ohio.
Oh, boy.
That's right. Cleveland and Cincinnati are both in Ohio.
Well, I'll put myself down for the Bengals and yourself down for the doo-doo Browns.
No, that's all right. I'm going to take the Bengals on this one, too.
Okay. That's what I thought.
yep. That's right, Cleveland.
Yeah, well, nothing else to talk about with that game, so
Cleveland,
maybe.
Cleveland 0-5 this season. They're the bottom of the AFC North. Cincinnati's 3-2 right behind Baltimore there with an opportunity to
if I had the chance to watch either room. If I had the chance to watch either that game on television or women's basketball, I would watch women's basketball.
I would too.
I would.
Anything with the Cleveland Browns is just like, yeah, forget it.
Not even the Cleveland Browns, just Ohio teams in general.
You're right. We could go all day about Ohio teams and just how bad they are.
Shout out to our good friend JT out there in Ohio.
That's right.
Sorry JT. About that, buddy.
Yeah.
Sorry. We're not a fan. Not a fan of those Bengals.
That's how he's saying it, too. That's the funny thing.
I am a Bengals fan.
Hopefully Garfunkel. You're not listening. That's right. That's the voice of Garfunkel insulting you. Our next 1 o'clock game on Sunday or Saturday.
Oh, looks like Aaron Rodgers just came in the studio.
Oh, yeah. We'll get to him in a few minutes. He's going to have to sit down.
Hold up over there. Hold up over there, John Gruden.
That's right. Anyways, that was strangely odd and bizarre transition.
Did I say Aaron Rodgers?
You did say Aaron Rodgers, yeah. You meant John Gruden. But
I meant John.
Either way, they're not in
the studio.
I meant
John Gruden. John Gruden's coming out soon.
Hey, it's going to be nice and warm in Miami Gardens on Sunday. 90 degrees expected, a low of 76. I'll take 90, but I'll also take the Miami Dolphins defeating the St. Louis Rams.
I will take the St. Louis Rams because St. Louis Rams are a pretty cool-looking team. Sam Bradford and and I don't know if is Steven Jackson playing this weekend? Do you know that?
He might.
Well, he's always been haunted with injuries, but I'm going to take the Rams in this one. Reggie Bush, silent. I say that every week, but usually he's not. So, whatever.
That's all right. You're calling him out on it. Hopefully he'll do something. The Colts are coming off of a big win last week against Green Bay.
I'm a fan. I'm a fan of the Colts. I'm a fan of Andrew Luck. I'm a fan of that team.
How can
I'm a fan
be?
Of Chuck Strong. And let's do it. Let's win the Super Bowl, Colts. Let's go.
That's the call from Garfunkel.
Right on my back.
A challenge.
I'll take your team. I'll take you guys there.
A challenge to the Indianapolis Colts. Win the Super Bowl. Well,
and they're going to beat the Colts, or they're going to beat the Jets.
Jets.
Tebow. Are you going to start, or are you going to sit on the bench and pray all day? What's going down? Rex Ryan, honestly, man. Like, come on. I know you lost a lot of weight, and you think you know what you're doing, but come on.
Yep.
Sanchez is horrible. Sanchez is horrible.
I don't know if it's Sanchez's fault.
It's Sanchez's fault.
Before.
No.
He doesn't have a whole lot around him. He's
first
got a
off,
lot
he
of
doesn't have
guys.
Any respect. He doesn't have any respect from his teammates. Second off, let me tell you something. Okay, that interception that they lost the game with last week, that was dropped, but it was passed a little behind the guy. Tebow would have tucked it and ran around the edge, and he would have scored a touchdown on his own. Because Tebow does it himself. And he's got God's side. And you know God's favorite son is not a loser.
Not yet. But, I lost respect for that Jets team when they brought Brett Favre back. That was, 3 or 4 years ago?
Well,
let it
okay.
go, Simon, you say. Well, you know what? I'm not going to let it go. It's the Indianapolis Colts that win on Sunday.
I'm going to tell you something.
Tell me something.
Andrew Luck is a very, very talented quarterback, and he reminds me almost of, a young Tom Brady. No, I'm just kidding. He looks like Peyton Manning out there on that Colts with that Colts uni on. But, let me tell you something, though. Oh, John Gruden, you want to talk? Hold on, let me pass the mic over to John Gruden. Andrew Luck with the one-handed pass. That quarterback is something special. You see him eye down his receivers. You never see that. You see all the touchdowns he throws, the handoffs he hands off. This guy is special. You got Reggie Wayne, the top receiver in the league, future Hall of Famer, doing work out there. This Colts team, you better watch out in the future, because they're coming to get you.
Wow, that was profound.
Well, thank you. Thank you, John Gruden. Thank you for that insight.
And now he's leaving.
He loves everyone. And now he's leaving.
He's got to get back to the studio. All right, then. Our special guest today, John Gruden. No impersonations on this show. That's how it really is. Next game on, Philadelphia and Detroit. Hey, easy pick for me. Detroit sucks. Give it to the Eagles.
Give it to the Eagles.
Give it to Michael Vick.
Wow. Well, I'm gonna give it to the Lions this week.
You're gonna give it to the Lions.
I'm gonna give it to the Lions. I'm gonna tell you why. Because, That's what came to mind when I thought he was going to win this game. I don't have any insight
on
it.
You just wanted to argue. You just wanted to.
I just
want to
beat you because you don't know anything.
Yeah, good luck with it. All right, then. All the easy picks, and I'm going to go to another game that I somewhat care about. Hey, Tampa Bay fans, have you seen one Buccaneers game on TV this year? Nope, because you haven't sold out. We've talked about that many times. It's the Chiefs. It's the Buccaneers. It's at Tampa. It's going to be 87 there. On Sunday, I wish I was down there at my other house. I will not be, but I picked the Tampa Bay Buccaneers to win it rather convincingly. I think they win by 40.
I take the Buccaneers as well, but I'm going to take it as a closer game, a rather boring game of, say, around 17-6. I'm going to take them, and it's going to be a boring game. But you know what I'm going to take is that when they when the Chiefs go to kneel the ball at the end of the game for the win, I'm going to say that they're going to dive under there and knock that ball out and get the ball back with enough time to score at the end of the game. That's how I think they're going to win this game. Call me crazy.
Wait, they're going to fill a deficit of a game 17-6 by that?
Yes.
That's not going to happen. That's not possible. Mathematically, that can't happen.
Because it is 6-4, two
Oh, it's an alternate
safeties,
universe you live in.
Two safeties.
Touchdowns are worth 2 points.
Two safeties.
Double the points.
Two safeties because
it's like Castle, double the points.
Matt Castles gets booed off the stadium, so they have Brady Quinn starting. So I don't think the Chiefs are going to be winning this game.
Do you remember
he's stuck in the Notre Dame game?
I was going to say, do you remember when he was at Notre Dame? He was the top guy, the top quarterback in Notre Dame. Which we'll have to get to another time. We'll have to have an entire show about Notre Dame one of these days. They're a great team. But that's getting off topic. Let's get to our next game. Arizona and Buffalo. And I'm trying to do my own John Gruden there, I guess. Hey, easy pick for me, the Buffalo Bills. I gotta love the Buffalo Bills. Man, I just love Buffalo. It's a great place. Filled with great people. Buffalo. They win.
I love Buffalo wings. Everyone knows that. So I'm going to go with the Arizona Cardinals. And I'm going to tell you why, because I think that the team's got a great defense, and, Kevin Cobb's coming together. I'm going to take the Arizona Cardinals in this one. And, once again, just to go against you.
That's nice.
Yeah, that's very nice.
That's very nice. Yeah, lovely. Hey, what about this one? New England and Seattle. Come on, everybody.
Ooh, good game.
Tom Brady's on a roll. It's New England.
It is New England.
It's New England.
It's going to be New England. Tom Brady's too
Patriots
good looking.
Patriots win. They're going to beat the British, and we're going to claim our independence from
Tom
Seattle.
Brady's too good looking to lose ever another game. So is his wife.
Oh, okay. There we go.
I had to add that in there. Sketchy.
Thank you so much.
So the fans didn't start have to think. So the fans don't think too much into it.
Right, because we don't want them sending angry mail
to us. We don't
want
mixed messages on this station.
Station identification time. That'll include the email that you
literally
can send your hate mail to.
Literally station identification. We don't know what's going on. We don't even know.
Hey, the New York Giants are up against the 49ers. That game is in San Francisco on Sunday.
Great matchup. Best matchup of the week, in my opinion.
Matchup of the week. We saw it last year.
We can't take the same team this
NFC
year.
Championship.
We can't take the same thing. Who are you taking? We can't take
the same
team.
I'm taking the team that didn't go to the Super Bowl but should have last year, the San Francisco 49ers.
Wow, and I'm taking the New York Giants in this one. Eli. We trusted Eli. Let's go. Giants are going to take this game all the way.
Let's hope. Hey, the Bears are on a bye week, by the way. Just cut off, unfortunately.
Yeah, I'm taking the Bears this week, so
I'm taking the Bears on their bye week and wherever these guys decide to go for their vacation.
Hopefully we see one of them at Tsukasa, because they're out there. They get a good 4 days off.
Wherever that restaurant is, it might be non-existent. Anywho, we talk about our next matchup, Minnesota and Washington. Hey, the Minnesota Vikings, I've told you this before, and I'll say it again. They're a team that you've got to take seriously, a 4-1 team. Only one other team in the NFC North that is 4-1, and that is the Bears. Minnesota Vikings.
I'm taking the Minnesota Vikings as well. Adrian Peterson is going to have a great game this weekend, and RG3 is concussed, and he's not going to really be able to think very well on the field, and he's going to be a little timid, and he's going to learn to slide, so he's not going to make as many big plays, and RG3, you're going to lose this game, buddy.
This is a game that I'm going to look forward to. Sunday Night Football, we have the Green Bay Packers at Houston playing the Texans.
Great
the Texans
game.
Are
Great
undefeated,
game.
Still 5-0, and I think they get win number 6 on the season
against
a struggling Packers team, a team that lost last week.
As it kills me to say, I'm taking the Green Bay Packers in this one. Aaron Rodgers always getting the job done, throwing passes left and right. This guy is a true gamer. He knows how to win football games, and he knows how to show up every single day to play and get his teammates on the right track to victory.
That's right. Thanks, John Gruden, again. And there he goes. We'll see him next week.
See him Monday for the game call.
That's right. Monday
and if
night
you don't
football.
Hear me say, if you don't hear John Gruden say Aaron Rodgers, then you don't know how to pick out Aaron. Anyway.
You can really wow.
Edit
right.
that out, please.
Man, I've seen a train derail better than that. We get Monday Night Football, and we get the Denver Broncos at the San Diego Chargers.
Oh, that was Sunday Night Football. I thought that was Monday.
Now you're embarrassed. I said it's Sunday Night Football. It's on
oh, that's John Gruden will
this
be calling
one's
this
the one
game.
On ESPN. That's
Peyton
the Denver
Manning.
Broncos.
That would be what he was to be yeah. saying. I'm going to have to go with, to be honest, it's hard to pick this Denver team.
I can't take them seriously.
You can't.
You can't.
You can't see.
I
Peyton
keep
Manning
seeing Peyton Manning in those freaking Papa John commercials. Two million free.
2 million or one
Papa
million.
John's
you decide. 2 million or one
no, no,
million.
No, no. 1 million
know.
Free.
And where are all these free million pizzas too?
Yeah, where am I? I'm sorry.
I'm sorry.
How many times have I ordered from them? None.
None.
But I want a free pizza. There's 2 million free. There's 6 million people in our beautiful country, coast to coast, and I can't find one free pizza, really? There's more than 6 million, by the way. There's like 60 billion. Nah, that's a wrong number. Anywho, where's my free pizza? That's what I want to know. Hey, Peyton Manning, you better start throwing me a free pizza or throw touchdowns, too. I say the San Diego Chargers do it because the entire Denver Broncos roster is sitting on the sideline enjoying some pretty crappy pizza.
I'm going to be honest with you. I'm taking the Chargers as well because...
I'm going to be honest. That pizza sucks.
Papa John's is bad.
Don't buy it.
Don't. If you want a good pizza...
You go to the Pizza Hut.
You go to Little Caesars
you
for
go
$5.
To Little Caesars.
Save some money.
Yeah, there you go. You go to...
Little Caesars did not pay us any money to
no.
save